Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are delighted to welcome in Steve Conroy, the color analyst on both WGN and NBC Sports of Chicago Blackhawks. And he joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. And Steve, we just heard there from Corey Crawford talking about being in Montreal, where he grew up, a fan of the team, and what a joy it is for him to have 48 saves, another shutout, a fantastic performance, always good in Montreal. Were you like that with Toronto, Steve? Is that
well, I wish I was. You know, it's funny. I think I did play well. I don't think I ever put up huge numbers when I was in Toronto. Town that I grew up in, but you know, you always play well because you realize not only are mom and dad there, but you know, you've got your family, your immediate family, tons of friends. And I think with Corey, the other thing that drives him in Montreal is the guy down at the other end, Carey Price. And you know, we kind of talked about it during the telecast, is that Carey Price gets all this press as being, you know, maybe the best goalie in the NHL for the last, you know, whatever, 10 years. And he does not have Stanley Cups. And Corey Crawford, of course, has a couple of those on his resume. He does have Vezinas. Corey doesn't. And like I said, he gets all the accolades. He gets all the praise. But I think that drives Corey. So, yeah, the fact that he was a huge Patrick Waugh fan growing up, and, you know, it's his hometown. Chateauguay is literally 15 minutes from downtown Montreal. I think that's inspiration for him. So I was at the morning skate that Saturday morning, and mom and dad were in the stands, and he had about 10 other people there too. So you certainly don't want to let down, you know, those people when you're performing at night.
I don't think he's lost there, Steve. I think that's the statistic that was really remarkable. He rises to the occasion when he goes back home. Only the 18th goalie in NHL history, I believe, to have 48 saves. Only in his seventh start back from the concussion. And his second shutout, Steve, when you look at what he's doing well and how at the level he's playing at, how do you attribute the fact that he's been able to do this quickly? How unexpected has it been for you to watch?
Well, David, that's a great question. You know what I think? He's a cerebral goalie. He really thinks the game. And I mean, I think, you know, sometimes you say that about a lot of athletes, you know, whether it's Tom Brady and as a quarterback, but I think he understands the game so well. And, you know, it's funny, excuse me, when he was growing up in Montreal, up until the age of 11, he was a forward. So he knows how the game works from the other side of the puck. And I think that really helps him in his reads. He just anticipates so well. And, you know, he's got great focus. And, of course, he was a little more focused being back home in Montreal. But I just think the way he can anticipate the game, a lot of times you see these stops he makes, you know, he's square, he's ready for the puck to come to him, and a lot of times it's just hitting him. And, you know, that's what being a goaltender is all about, is making yourself big and making the stop. So, you know, I think the fact that, you know, he's a real student of the game, and him and Jimmy Waite, the goaltending coach for the Blackhawks, have a great relationship. They've got, you know, great scouting reports on all the shooters and all the scorers from other teams. But he takes it to another level with his preparation. And I just think the fact that he knows what's going to happen. It's almost like Patrick Kane. He knows what's going to happen a second before it actually happens. So I think that's a huge advantage for him.
The Hawks have won five in a row. And it's interesting to look at the playoff picture and try to figure out if they're going to run out of time or if they can get this done. They obviously have a game in hand. But that, you know, a couple of it's just a lot of work. It's you know, you need help at this point of the year.
Yeah, I had a pilot friend of mine tell me a few days ago they're running out of runway. And
well put.
You're absolutely right, because, listen, they're playing great right now. They do have a game in hand. They've got two winnable games coming up in Vancouver and Philadelphia. And, you know, those – after that, though, they play Colorado next weekend back-to-back. And I think that'll be the that'll tell them whether or not they've got a legitimate chance or not, because if they lose one of those two games, I don't really like their chances. And then it finishes – listen how it finishes. They play – and this is at home, though. They play Winnipeg, St. Louis, Dallas, all at home. Then they have to go into Nashville. So those are their last four games. So that's going to be tough. And then, you know, throw in a West Coast trip to Arizona, San Jose, and L.A., and that's the 11 games right there. So it ain't going to be easy. And I think the team knows that, but I think they view it as a challenge now. And if you know anything about the character of some of these guys, whether it's Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane or Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, they're up for challenges. And I think that would be a great story if they could do this when they were literally the last place team in the NHL, I think sometime in January. If they could do this, it would be quite a story. So I think that's what's driving them. It's going to be very difficult. You know, I don't know what the odds. There's a couple of websites out there that put actual fractions or percentages on what the chances of a team winning are. And I know the Blackhawks just a couple of weeks ago were 1.9%, but that was before the five-game winning streak. So who knows? It's doable, but it's going to be pretty tough.
Steve, we look at the trade with the Coyotes that brought over Dylan Strome and Brendan Perlini, who's red hot right now. When you look at those two guys have being instrumental in the turnaround that you described, but I also look at Erik Gustafsson and I look at how he has had a breakthrough year. He's scoring, he's doing everything. He's always been the offensive-minded defenseman and taken some criticism for the way that he plays defense. But this year seems to be, he seems to be thriving in this new system. Maybe it's the new coach, maybe it's whatever, just a guy coming of age. But this looks like a guy who has come into his own since joining the first team power play, the first unit. How is he doing this, and why is it happening now?
Well, I think, aside from a goaltender, I think playing defense, breaking in as a defenseman in the NHL is one of the tougher things to do. There's just so many different, you know, skill sets that you have to have, and you know, you're on offense, you're on defense. You make a mistake, as a defenseman, it's noticeable, and it normally ends up in a good scoring chance. So, you know, I think with Gus, a couple things, and with Jeremy Collins behind the bench, you know, Gustafsson played, I think, pretty much all last year down at the minors in Rockford. So he's got a coach who knows him really well. I think Jeremy really leaned on him with the Ice Hawks. So there's that familiarity, I think, which I think helps Gus more than anything. And then the other thing is he's got an unbelievable chemistry with Patrick Kane. And, you know, they're not out there all the time five-on-five together, but on the power play, and I know the power play hasn't scored in, you know, six or seven games, but on the power play, those two guys, just they're on the same wavelength, and they've really got it going. So, you know, that helps too. And I think the other thing that's maybe the most important, and maybe the thing that Gustafsson is most proud of, is the fact that, you know, he's playing better defensively now. And we pointed it out a couple of times in that Montreal game. He had a huge hip check early in the first period. You don't see those very often. That's an old-time term from the, you know, from back when I played. Stood a guy up right in the neutral ice area. So, you know, defensively, I think he's really taking a lot of pride. And, you know, he realizes that he's in a very unique situation where, hey, listen, I get to go on the ice on a power play, and those guys are typically out there almost a full 2 minutes. And I'm playing with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Alex DeBrincat, maybe the finest second-year player right now in the NHL. You know, I don't want to let this slip through my fingers. So, you know, give him full marks. He is he's really come a long way, and it's tough to do. And like I said, there's just so many different areas of your game you have to be good as a defenseman. And he right now is just, you know, checking all those boxes.
They're just such an entertaining team to watch, too. I mean, there's so many attacking players. I get it that they need help on defense, and you know, Crawford has to kind of stand on his head sometimes. But the Hawks are great value to watch because, that you know, so many guys are having great years, even in a season where it might not end up in the playoffs.
Well, Mully, I'm with you on that. I mean, you know, it was a nail biter for them. But you know, the Toronto game, they're up 5-0 and they end up winning 5-4. It's an exciting hockey game, and they did it at home. Well, they beat somebody 7-1, but they're putting up lots of goals. And you look at who's scoring the goals. This is what's impressive. You know, you got Patrick Kane, who's from Buffalo. You got Alex DeBrincat, who's from Detroit, and you've got Brandon Saad too, who is just having a great bounce back year. He's a Pittsburgh kid, so you know, I think three of your top four goal scorers are American-born kids, and I think that's great for the young hockey players here in the Chicagoland area, and it's good for the NHL too. But yeah, they're exciting. They're a lot of offense. Yeah, they're going to give up some chances, and they have done that. But when you've got a guy like Corey Crawford who you know helps shut the door most nights, you know, you're going to come out of the winning end.
Steve, before we let you go, it was great to hear from Joel Quenneville yesterday in an interview with Dan Rohn. I thought it was, you know, Joel was as gracious and looked back at what happened with a lot of class and dignity, and nobody should be surprised by that. And I was critical of the time when the Hawks made the move and the timing of it and some of the other things that went into firing a guy who'd won three cups for this franchise. But if the Hawks get to the end of the season and they miss the playoffs because of the way they started, will they look at back with a sense of regret that they didn't make that move in the offseason, that they didn't do that in the summer when they probably could have started with a new coach and a fresh start and gotten off to a good start?
Well, you know, I don't know about that, David. We started 6-2-2. So, you know, the start wasn't the problem. There was that, you know, little lull when we went out west and, you know, they lost to Vancouver, they lost to Edmonton, they lost to Calgary. You know, and I think the Calgary game was the last game Joel had. So they were still above 500 at that time. So I'm certainly not going to put that on Joel. In fact, you know, I played in that charity game yesterday afternoon that Joel was at. He was our coach, and Chris Chelios, Mary Beth Carlin, who kind of organized the whole thing, did a fantastic job. But, you know, I had a chance to talk to him. And, you know, he's in a good place right now, and he knows that he's going to end up in the NHL if he wants, and he'll have to pick a jobs too. So
yep.
It's going to end up okay for him. As far as the Blackhawks go, you know, they struggled, and they've struggled. They've had a couple of 8-game losing streaks, and one of them was under Jeremy Cullen. But I think they're finally grasping the system, and they're embracing the system, and they've got belief in the system. So, you know, it takes a little bit of time. So had the change happened in the offseason, I think it would have been better for all parties. But I'm certainly not going to, you know, put the start on Joel, because as far as I was concerned, it was a pretty strong start.
Good stuff.
Thanks so much,
Steve. Thanks,
Steve.
Take care.
All right, boys. Anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Trek all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.